two or three years ago, but something God's done recently in your life within the last couple of weeks or months since we last shared. Holly, I see that hand. It's like the, did you ever hear the story of the retired pastor? He got a shop full of clocks, and he had all the clocks on the wall, and every day he'd stand behind the counter and go, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that. Okay, here we go. It's, welcome, Holly.
I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. Most of you know I was sick. I had surgery a month ago, and I'm here, and I can move. That's a good thing. I was sort of immobile for a while. But I also missed all of you for a couple weeks because I was at a course in Harrisburg of GSSM, which is the school I graduated from. It's an affiliate of the Bethel folks, and we had a refresher course, so I got refreshed. lots of healing prayer and lots of prophecy over me and encouragement. So I really felt like I went from a place of not much peace because I was really struggling with my my illness and so forth and diagnosis. I was a little bit in the pits, not a good place to be when you have the Lord, but we get there. So I'm just grateful. And so many people came and brought me things during my sickness. I know it's hard to thank everybody because you don't even remember very well from all of that, but I appreciate your support and letters and emails and things like that, phone calls. It really does help, and it really takes the edge off of that feeling like you're all alone. So thank you.
Thank you, Holly. Amen. Yeah, Bob. I see that hand.
Well, those of you that are in the LDP course, last Monday night, Chris Volantin was speaking. And one of the things that he mentioned was he had this book. It looked like a fat Bible, but he said it was his journal, and he writes in his journal. He prays in the morning, and he just asks God for words, and he writes them down. And he goes and looks for the people, kind of like doing a treasure hunt, if you will. He gets words. And I was really encouraged by that. I keep a journal, but I'm not very faithful at it. I opened my journal up this week, and I saw May 14th was the last entry. But at least it was May 14th this year. On Thursday, I was walking down the corridor, and I saw a guy who used to work with us. And I don't run into him very often, but we just happened to run into him. And once upon a time, like last year, he shared with me that he was going through a struggle in his marriage, and he just asked me to pray for him. So I got a piece of, I didn't bring it this morning, but my memory is usually in my pocket. And so I wrote down, pray for, and I filled in his name. So as he was walking down the corridor, and he says, "Don't forget what you owe me," and I didn't remember, but he said, "Oh, yeah," so I knew that he wanted prayer. So the next morning, remembering what Chris had shared, I just sat down in my prayer room, and I just said, "God, speak to me about my friend and his marriage. I have no idea what to do, what to say, or any of that, and whether I'll even talk to him again." So, and then I just started to write. And the Lord said to me very clearly, he said, "You be love and hope for him, and his problem is between his ears. It's what he believes, which is not what he should be believing." So anyway, I said, "Okay, God, I'll take that word, and maybe I'll see him, and maybe I won't see him." Well, lo and behold, I saw him, and I had a divine appointment. So I said, "I'd like to get together and talk to you about this at some point in time. Maybe we can get together at lunch." And he said, "Okay, that's fine." He said, "I'll just give you a call." And I said, "I have a word I believe God gave me." And his eyes went, like silver dollars. And he said, "How about lunch today?" So I sat down with lunch, and the long and short of this was he needed love, he needed hope, and he needed to have an understanding, a different understanding of God. He's a nominal believer and one who would like to see his marriage work, but he's very, very desperate at this point in time. So I led him in a prayer, not to receive Christ, because I feel like he's close but not quite there yet. But I said, "You need to know." The thing that he didn't believe was he did. Oh, I got to say one more thing. Sorry about that. he starts off by saying, did you ever see the movie Fireproof? And I went, yeah, I did. Well, he goes on to share how his marriage is like the beginning part of that movie. And for those of you who saw it, it was horrible. And so we were able to talk through that movie. I used that as a point to talk to him. And I said, you know what what you need. And he said, I don't believe that part where he was talking to his father and his father talked to him about Jesus and, you know, and all of that. So he said, I really have a hard time with the believing God loves me. So we ended up, he actually let me pray with him at the end that he would have a touch this week. So I'm expecting a miracle this week for him, okay, that he will know the love of Jesus personally, and we'll have another lunch together, I'm sure.
Thank you.
I want to tell you all a testimony about forgiveness. So this is a story that takes place at my school. So as like lots of you middle school students, high school all know, middle school's very tough. Kids make fun of you all the time. So there were these people that made fun of me and my friend, and we were feeling really upset about it. But one day we were talking on the phone, and my friend said, Andrew, I know this is going to be hard for you, but get the yearbook and find the people that you're upset with. Think about 10 nice things about them and forgive them. So together, me and my friend did that, and it just feels so great to have forgiven people. So if there's anybody you're mad at, don't harbor the anger. Just let it all out and forgive people.
Thank you. Wow, that's interesting that you shared on that word. The magazine that comes from Howard County General Hospital, which is part of the Hopkins Network, Hopkins Magazine, the cover issue this month is forgiveness, the power of forgiveness and healing. Yeah, Tom.
Thank you. I had an unexpected encounter on Wednesday. I work in Washington, D.C., and as I drive down, I park at a federal building, and there's a guard that has, I've seen him several times there, and in my windshield, I have a wooden filigree cross, and he's always commented, I love your cross. And on Wednesday, as I pulled up and showed him my badge, he said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. He said, my name's Victor. And I said, my name's Tomas. And he said, I feel like I need prayer today. Would you pray for me? And very unexpected, he had never said anything to me before, and I said, sure. And on the spot, I said, Father, we pray that you pour out your spirit upon our brother Victor today. Watch over him and protect him. Give him wisdom and fill his heart with the joy of Jesus Christ, your son. And he just stood and looked at me and just, I'm not sure what was going through his mind, but he grasped my hand firmly and shook it. And I went on, and during the day I felt drawn to pray for him, to continue to pray for him during the day, and led me to J.B. Phillips' version of the Bible. Phillips 4:7 says, don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Amen. Ronnie, you have a testimony?
Well, I've been praying about getting more exercise, and my aunt brought me into Cardinals Hospital, and they said, we have a physical outpatient physical therapy department. So I'll be going over there 2 days a week now and exercising my legs and getting in the swimming pool there. So looking forward to that. Amen.
That's good.
I just came back from a 10-day trip. Went down to Texas to meet my cousins. They had a family reunion down there. And as I left, I asked the Lord one thing. One, to grow more in him as I drove, and two, to open up doors for me to witness to people. Every gas station I went to, I met people that had all kinds of different problems, and I got to pray for them. The hotels that I went to, the clerks behind there had all kinds of problems. I got to witness to them. Except for one waitress in a restaurant, every waiter and waitress needed prayer, and I was able to give it to them. Praise God. Now, that's not the best part. The best part was when I was with my family, and I haven't seen some of these cousins for years. And I met my second cousins and my third cousins. And I would sit there minding my own business, and they came up to me with problems. And all I could do was pray for them. And I've got, they're not cousins, they're friends of my cousins that served together in the military. They were also invited, and they had a tremendous problem. They don't know me. I don't know them. But the guy's wife came up and laid on my shoulder for I don't know how long with her problems. The Lord was opening up doors and answering my request. Plus, he gave me a safe trip down there and a safe trip back. Thank God.
Thank you, John. All right, I'm gonna limit it to one more with Linda here because I need to make room for Fred to share eventually. But Linda.
On the 4th of July, I got together with some of my friends. One is one of our high school friends that my sister and I have had for many years. And she's the grandmother of one of the children that was hurt at River Valley Ranch. This girl was the last to be released from the hospital. Her eye socket was fractured. She has staples in her head, collarbone broken. It goes on and on with the injury. But they can't account for how fast she's healing, that the stitches are just closing and healing so quickly. And her name is Autumn. So please continue to pray for the kids that were injured. Because when I heard the news report, I was praying for the counselors and praying for the kids that were injured, but it gave me the impression that one child was killed and the rest were taken to the hospital and just fine. And that's not the case. Good. But please continue to pray.
Thank you, Linda. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Great testimonies. We want to make time. We can't do it every Sunday, but most Sundays when we can make time, we want to make time to do this, just to share, to encourage one another in this way. And how many of you would agree that?
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Okay, well, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will put my eyeballs on. Okay, well, we're continuing our series this morning on building a kingdom culture. And we're asking the question, what is a kingdom culture? What does it look like? And so to understand that, we first need to define what culture is. So does anybody want to take a stab at defining culture? What is culture? Now, there is a cheat sheet in your bulletin, just to let you know, in case you're struggling with that. Karen. Okay, a set of values that are that a group of people abide by, share together. Shared experiences, good. Very good. Okay. Yeah? Lynn? How you live out your life? Okay, as a people? Okay, good. All right, very good. Yeah, one more.
Goals that a congregation or a body of people would have that they're building
towards. Goals that a body of people or congregation are building towards? Good, very good. And what's the last one? I saw your hand. That's an interesting twist. Okay, a culture in a lab is something that things grow in. So it's a growing environment. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, well, here's the Webster's definition. A culture is a way of life of a group of people, their behaviors, beliefs, values, and symbols that they accept, generally without thinking about them, and that are passed along by communication and imitation from one generation to the next. Now, I was born into a Jewish culture, and looked something like this. Conrad Son. Which one's me? And, you know, what does that remind you of? Any movies that remind you of? Fiddler on the Roof, yes, yes. Wasn't that a great scene? Excellent scene. So, yeah, so that's Jewish culture, but my Jewish culture was a little bit more like the next slide. To me, that's Jewish culture. I mean, you know, there's nothing better than corned beef sandwich with the garlic pickle on the side, the chicken matzo ball soup, you know, come on, homemade challah. Come on, who's ever had homemade challah? Okay, that's better than Giant. Okay, and if you know, right-hand corner, there's a havala. If you've never had havala, come on, crush that to me with honey. It's amazing stuff. Yeah, so that's me. I was born into a Jewish culture, but then I later joined another culture called the hippie culture. Yours truly, there he is. Yeah, I fit right in there, don't I? And did that as a oh yeah, me. You can't recognize me. That doesn't look like me. You know it's me, huh? The lower left. Yes, that is actually me at the grand old age of 19. A few months before I was born again into the kingdom of God. And that was the third and final culture, okay? I was born again into the kingdom culture, the kingdom of God, where I could still be Jewish, but a lot less hippie and a lot more holy. How many of you know that kingdom of God is more holy than hippie? Okay. So, what does a kingdom culture look like? Well, for those of us who are going through the LDP, we've been studying this for the last, 6 months? And so far we've defined kingdom culture, various characteristics. There's 12 we're studying. The first is the kingdom is like a family. It's relational more than organizational. Secondly, kingdom culture is defined by the goodness of God. Isn't that good? Because God is good. We have a good God. Who knows the plans and purposes for our life to show us good things, not evil, to give us good, not evil. Third, the kingdom culture is expressed by joy and hope. How many of you like joy? Yeah, so as believers, we've been born again into a kingdom that is joyful and that's full of hope. A hope that does not disappoint us because the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. It's a kingdom that is expresses honor. We outdo one another in showing honor in a kingdom culture. Kingdom culture is defined by risk and faith. Remember how you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Believing. We, as a kingdom people, we believe that all things are possible through Christ. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. Faith. And finally, well, we're going to be studying grace and empowerment, valuing his presence, releasing the supernatural, salvation and righteousness, generosity, revelation and the word. We're going to be getting to those. But today, we're looking at the prophetic. And we saw, many of you here saw the DVD last Monday night?
Yeah.
Okay. So each month we're trying to build on what we're already studying. So this morning, we want to ask the question, what does a prophetic culture look like? Or what does it mean to walk in the prophetic? Now, if you saw your bulletin this morning, how many of you read the cover on your bulletin? Okay. Now, I didn't put this. This is thanks to Randy. Pastor stated publicly that I have the gift of prophecy. The person says, well, I didn't see that one coming. Well, hopefully we'll see this one coming this morning. So what does it mean to walk in the prophetic? To walk in the prophetic is something like walking a tightrope. Have any of you ever walked a tightrope? Okay, it's a bit risky. Yeah, takes a lot of faith. Now, when I spoke on the risk and faith a few weeks ago, I mentioned a number of risk takers. But there was one guy I neglected to mention. His name is Charles Blondin. Have you ever heard of Charles Blondin?
Yes.
There he is. What's the date on that paper? 1860? Back in 1860, he was the first person to ever walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. How many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls? How many of you would like to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope? Well, this guy, I mean, this is hard to believe, but it's true. He walked across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, but he did more than that. Let's see what he did.
Jean-Francois Gravelet, better known as Blondine, was a famous tightrope walker and acrobat. He's perhaps best known for his many crossings of a tightrope, 1,100 feet in length, suspended 160 feet above Niagara Falls in the USA. His act would be watched by large crowds and begin with a relatively simple crossing using a balancing pole. Then he would throw away the pole and amaze the onlookers. On one occasion, he crossed the tightrope on stilts. On another occasion, blindfolded. Another time, he stopped halfway to cook and eat an omelette. In 1860, a royal party from England came to watch Blondin perform. After his normal spectacular crossings, he then wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other as the crowd cheered. Next, he put a sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across. The crowd cheered louder. Then he approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?"
Yes, I do, said the Duke.
"Ah, hop in," replied Blondin. The crowd fell silent. But the Duke of Newcastle would not accept Blondin's challenge. "Is there anyone else here who believes I could do it?" asked Blondin. No one was willing to volunteer. Eventually, an old woman stepped out of the crowd and climbed into the wheelbarrow. Blondin wheeled her all the way across and all the way back. The old woman was Blondin's mother, the only person willing to put her life in his hands.
Cool, huh? Amazing. So what does it mean to walk in the prophetic? It's to have faith. But it's one thing to have faith to believe you can do it. It's another thing to actually do it. Yeah? So what is a prophetic culture? Prophetic culture is a culture that enables us and empowers us to do it, to actually walk in the prophetic. So what do we know about prophecy? Well, if you have your Bibles open this morning, we're going to look at this. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, those two chapters, Paul gives us, he gives us almost the whole deal on what prophecy is. And so I'm going to kind of boil it down to four things this morning. Prophecy number one is one of the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12, verse 10. Secondly, it's to be desired as one of the higher gifts, chapter 14, verse 1. Third, we can all prophesy, chapter 14, verse 31. And fourth, it's for the benefit of unbelievers as well as believers, chapter 14, verse 25. Okay, so here we go. We're going to dive into this morning. We're going to look at each four of these things, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something this morning. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I believe that when we speak or teach God's Word, something happens. Faith comes. So I'm just announcing and proclaiming right now, faith is coming to you this morning. If you need faith for this morning, faith is coming. Amen? Amen. I'm declaring it. By faith. All right. So first, number one, prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. If you have your Bible open to chapter 12, verse 7, Paul says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. All, and then he goes on, that's what, seven? Then he goes on and he mentions discernment. No, that was six. Then he mentions discernment, speaking in tongues, and what's the ninth or the eighth? Interpretation of tongues, right. And then he says, verse 11, all these are inspired by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, what's interesting about this is that prophecy is in itself a fulfillment of prophecy. What do I mean by that? Who knows what Joel chapter 2 prophesied? What would happen in the last days? That's right. God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Do you remember what happened on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was given. They spoke in tongues. They spoke prophetically. All these nations, people gathered from nations heard there was what they were saying in their own language. Then Peter stood up, and what did he say? The first thing he said.
They're not drunk.
Well, he said they're not drunk. That's true. You got me there. That's right. You said it, Carrie. He said, this is that. This what you're hearing today is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. How many of you guys are dreaming dreams? You just confessed your age. Come on. Even on my men servants and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The good news is that it happened then, and it's still happening today. What is that? Oh, that's not prophetic. That's pathetic. It's a big bug. I'm glad my wife's not here today. She would freak. All right. So prophecy has not ceased as a cessationist. How do you say it right? Cessationists. You know, there are some cessationists around. God bless them. I love them. But they believe that this stuff doesn't happen anymore. Why not? I mean, it happened then. And the good news, it's still happening today. All right. So, number one, prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Wow, you guys are chasing it down. And they're going to save its life. Wow, I'm impressed. That's something guys wouldn't do. That's one difference between men and women, right there. We just saw it demonstrated.
Right.
They didn't want to clean up their mess. Yeah, right. Okay, secondly, prophecies is to be desired as one of the higher gifts. The very last verse in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, we don't really know what he's quite talking about yet. And then he goes into the love chapter. How many of you like the love chapter? Separates 12 and 14, love chapter. He says, you know, if you speak in the tongues of angels and men, but you have not love, you're a what? You're just a loud noise. If you have prophetic powers and all mysteries and all knowledge and faith to move mountains, but you have not love, you're what? You're nothing. And he goes on. And then he gets to chapter 14, verse 1. He says, well, okay, make love your aim. Good. He's affirming what he just said in chapter 13. Make love your aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Ooh. So maybe prophecy is one of these higher gifts that he was talking about in chapter 12. Verse 39, he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid the speaking of tongues. Verse 3, why? Why does he say that? Why should we prophesy? Because what? He who prophesies speaks to men or people for their what? Three things. Edification, encouragement, and consolation. Edification, encouragement, and consolation. Now, some people think that prophecy is for three other things. Exposure, uncovering, and condemnation. That's why I think a lot of people are afraid of prophecy. Because they have this wrong view of it. They think, well, man, if a prophetic guy comes this morning, I better not come that Sunday morning. Because he's going to see my sin. He's going to call me out of the crowd, and he's going to expose it. Remember, if you saw the video of Chris Valentin, that was his fear of going to, you heard this prophet was coming. He didn't want to go. He sat in the back row like, don't call on me. Because he thought the prophet was going to expose his sin. Well, you know, a prophet could do that, but what does Paul say? What is the main function of prophecy? It's for what? Encouragement, edification, and consolation. That doesn't sound like exposing your sin, does it? So then he says in verse 4, chapter 14, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the what? The church. So prophecy edifies the church, producing a prophetic culture, which is a culture of encouragement. Now, how many of you know that's countercultural? Most of us didn't grow up in a culture of encouragement, did we? Many of us grew up in a culture of criticism. Whether it was our family, or as Andrew, I guess he's not here anymore, Andrew's testimony this morning, middle school, high school. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, we kill each other. I mean, I remember just nicknames we gave guys. You know, we remember one guy, we nicknamed him Ducky. Guess why we nicknamed him Ducky? Because he walked like a duck. Or we nicknamed another guy Pinhead. Why? Because he had this little head and this big body. We nicknamed another guy Schnozzle. Yeah. Some of you know a little bit of Yiddish, right? What's a schnozzle? Yeah, it's a big nose, and that's one of those Jewish things, you know. I can say that I'm Jewish. This guy had a particularly big schnozzle, so we nicknamed him Schnozzle. I remember when I was 10 years old, I'm hanging out with some other guys. We're just hanging out, you know. And all of a sudden, this guy I hardly knew, he turns to me, he says, "Lessons? You know, you were born in a test tube marked failure." And where'd that come from? Well, just to show you the power of criticism, here I am a lot of years later, and I still remember what he said. I remember my brother, you know, this happens in our family too. Our families aren't oftentimes cultures of encouragement, are they? Unfortunately. You know, I remember my brother said to me when I was in college, he said, "Fred, you will never be successful in life." Thanks, brother. Really appreciate that, you know? But you know what? That stuck with me. I had a war against that for years. I had to like rebuke that and renounce that. You know, these things can stick with us, and they can hinder our fulfilling our destiny in God because we believe a lie instead of the truth. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've been criticized. You didn't grow up in a culture of encouragement, and you're carrying some of these things even to this day. So I want to declare this day is the day of the favor of the Lord, where you can nail that thing. Because even as I'm speaking, some of those criticisms are coming to your remembrance. Things that somebody said about you that stuck with you. Well, this morning I want to encourage you to nail it to the cross. Here's the cross. Just take it and nail it to the cross. Because Jesus says, if you know the truth will set you free. Jesus took all that stuff, didn't he? Thank God. He took all that stuff, all that negative stuff, all that critical stuff that was pronounced over you, and he's nailed it to the cross. Now it's your turn. Nail it to the cross. And let God's word replace the lie with the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just pause and take a moment. As that pronouncement that was made over us, that's become a curse that we've been battling all of our life, we declare this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day of deliverance, of freedom. You've come to set the captives free, to release those who have been imprisoned by these thoughts. And we thank you that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and every vain imagination, every vain thought that opposes the truth of the knowledge of God. So right now, we just take that lie, that pronouncement, and just picture right now, nailing it to the cross. Take that hammer, take that spike, and nail it to the cross. And what I just ask now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would replace that lie with the truth of who we are, our true identity in you. In Jesus' name. See, the enemy uses lies to distort our identity and to compromise our destiny, which is why we need to be in a culture of encouragement. Thank God, that's what the church is supposed to be. You know, I love what was said on the DVD the other day. When we gather together, None of us should ever leave without giving somebody a word of encouragement. Remember he said that? So think about that. You know, when you leave, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you some word of encouragement. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord. Just something encouraging to say to someone before you leave. Imagine what we would be like. Imagine what the church would be like, the church of Jesus, in this case, New Heritage, if every day, every Sunday, we came together and everybody purposed to give somebody else a word of encouragement. Wow, do you think that would change us? That's what a prophetic culture is. It's a culture of encouragement. You know, Timothy was blessed by living in a prophetic culture, a culture of encouragement. Timothy was a young guy like Justin Lorman. Yeah? And like Justin, he went to the Supernatural School of Ministry. You know whose school it was? It was Paul's school. He went to Paul's School of Supernatural Ministry. And he met Paul on Paul's second missionary journey. Remember the town he met him in? It was a town called Lystra. And he met his family, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And Paul, he brought the whole family to the Lord. And he saw something in this young guy, Tim. Can we call him Tim? And he invited Tim to go with him. Travel with him in his school, his traveling school of supernatural ministry. For 11 years, approximately, Timothy went with Paul. He was probably his late teens, early 20s when he started. And about 11 years later, when he's about 30 years old, Paul said, "Now's the day, Tim. Now's the day." What did he do? It was probably in Ephesus where they gathered the elders together. And what do? They laid hands on Timothy. How do I know this? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. "Till I come," Paul said, "attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophetic utterance when the council of elders laid their hands upon you." Wow. Here's Timothy. He's been traveling with Paul, and he's probably been doing different things, but all of a sudden the day's come for him to be released into ministry. So hands are laid on him, prophetic words are given. And guess what those prophetic words did? They built him up, they encouraged him, and they empowered him to go forth in confidence. Yes, you can do this. Yes, you're a young guy. Let no one despise you because of your youth. I mean, he's now going to be leading a congregation where everybody almost is older than him. He's a 30-year-old guy. That can be a little intimidating. That's why Paul said, "Don't anybody despise your youth." That's why Paul said, "Rekindle the gift that was given you by the laying on of hands." Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. He needed to hear these prophetic words said to him. So do I. So do you. Prophetic words are from God. Not all of them, but when they are, they're gold. They can help us persevere through hard times. In case any of you ever go through hard times. How do I know that? The same prophetic word helped Timothy, chapter 1:18, verse 18. Paul says, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the," everybody say it, "prophetic words spoken to you, that inspired by them, you may wage the good warfare." Apparently, Paul, now, I don't know, Tris, do you think Paul had one of those little digital things that you could record the prophecies? Probably didn't have one of those, he wrote them down for what? For Timothy's ongoing instruction and encouragement. So if you ever get a prophetic word, do what? Write it down. I love what Chris does. That dwelling place, you bring your little deal, right? Your little digital deal. And when people get prophetic words, you record them, right? Yeah, yeah, right. So, I mean, if you've never been to the dwelling place, I encourage you to go. It's a great place, not only to experience God's presence, but to receive prophetic encouragement. And if you get it, and it's God, write it down. And use it in your life to do what? But to wage the good warfare. You know, this life we're in is constant warfare, isn't it? It's a battle. And we're more than victors through Christ who won the victory. So we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory, but it's still a battle. And we gain the victory, we stay in the victory, based on God's word, the written word, and the prophetic words that God gives us. So, number one, what was number one? Prophecy is what? It's a gift of the Spirit. Secondly, it's to be desired as one of the higher gifts. Third, we're on now, is that we can what? We can all prophesy. Say with me, I can prophesy. Let's say it again. I can prophesy. Verse 31, chapter 14, Paul says, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be, again he says, encouraged. It's not just for the few. It's not just for the gifted. It's for everybody. Everybody sitting here this morning. You all can prophesy. Why? So we can all be encouraged. When? Tells us when we can prophesy. When we should prophesy. Whenever. Whenever what? Whenever we're together. Okay, so whether it's Sunday morning or the dwelling place or if you're in a home group. Some of you are in a home group, small group. Okay, or a men's group or a women's group. You can get together and you can prophesy over each other. You know, for years, before I got married, I lived in what we call men's households, Christian men's households. And one of the things we would do on a regular basis is we would take an evening or take a Saturday, and we'd just spend a few hours praying for each other. And we would like put, you know, like Ronnie in the middle. And we'd circle around, you know, Ronnie, and we would all just lay hands on Ronnie. And we would say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to Ronnie? And guess what would happen? All these different prophetic words started coming for Ronnie. Guess how Ronnie felt after we were done?
Encouraged.
Very encouraged. Yes, yes. So it can be whenever and wherever we come together. Last Monday night when Chris Valentine said we should never leave a meeting without giving an encouraging word, I was talking to one of the guys here out in the parking lot, and he was sharing some struggles he's having with his business. And as he was speaking, a scripture came to mind. How many of you know God can use scripture prophetically as a now word? So what immediately came to mind was Hebrews 6:12. By faith and perseverance, we inherit the promise. And I spoke that to him. And when I spoke it to him, I saw faith released in him. He goes, where is that in the Bible? And he wanted to write it down because it was a now word for him. It was an encouraging word for him. Simple. You don't have to be a great prophet to hear Holy Spirit give you a scripture that is a rhema, now word for somebody. Paul also tells us how to prophesy. Verse 32 says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. It means a lot of things, but one thing it means is that you're in control. You're not out of control when the Holy Spirit wants you to prophesy. You know, when I was new in this thing back in the early 20s, whatever it was, you know, there were three marks of what I thought was a prophetic person. They prophesied in King James English. It was loud. And it always started, thus saith the Lord, or my children. Anybody live back then? Yeah. Well, as long as King James loud and started one of those two ways, we knew it was prophecy. Well, you know, yes, God can do it that way, but he doesn't have to. In fact, I would say it's better, especially if we're new at this, just to simply say, you know, Ronnie, I just feel the Lord would want to say this to you. Or I have this sense, Ronnie, that the Lord would want to encourage you this way, and then say it. You know, you don't have to like get all, ooh, you know, whoa, you know. Now, if the Holy Spirit does that, no problem, that's okay. But it doesn't have to happen. You can be supernaturally natural, right, Chris? Or is it naturally supernatural? One of the two, or both. You know, if you're praying with somebody, you might get a picture. You might, as I said, you might get a scripture. I remember a few summers ago, I think it was back in 2007, I was, you know, you can email prophetic words, isn't that cool? You know, you don't have to necessarily say them in person, you can email it to somebody. Well, that summer, 2007, I got a flurry of prophetic emails. And in a number of them, it said something about one new man. Like, one new man. What's that all about? Why am I getting words about this? And so I decided to take these prophetic words seriously, and I decided to fast 3 days. And on the second, I can't remember, third day, I did a very spiritual thing. I Googled one new man. You know, Rabbi Google, he's really good. And make a long story short, you know, I just wound up kind of going from here to here to here to there, and I got to this website in Kiev, Ukraine, and there's this messianic Jewish congregation I never heard of, and in the upper right-hand corner it says, a week prayer and fasting retreat starts in like 4 days. And as I read that, the Holy Spirit just, boom. I knew I was supposed to go. And yet, my brain's saying, forget it. I mean, what? Go to Kiev in 4 days? I don't even know who would, I don't know anybody. I don't know anything about, I mean, this is stupid. Well, okay, Lord, if this is you, my wife will confirm it and Randy will confirm it. I'll make a long story short. They both confirmed it. I went. I met Anton and a lot of things happened and this whole one new man thing is still happening. So, you know, so God, emails can be, prophetic words can be emailed. If it is, pray about it. Okay. Finally, thirdly, was we can all prophesy. And fourth and finally, prophecy is for unbelievers as well as believers. In other words, not only for believers, it's also for unbelievers. Paul says in verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He's called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Now, I don't know how you read that, but how I've read that for so many years, the secrets of the heart are my hidden sins. So when somebody prophesies over me, or if a prophet speaks to me, he's looking at my secret sins, my hidden sins. Well, you know, prophecy and prophets, they do see that, probably. They can see that, and they can speak that. I mean, we all know about Ananias and Sapphira. God bless them. Peter had a prophetic word of knowledge and about Ananias, you know, not being quite honest about his giving, and we know the rest of the story. So, yes, prophecy can reveal the hidden things of the heart. But I'm not sure, and I don't believe that's the primary way that prophecy works. I believe the secrets of our heart or the hidden things in our heart is our hidden identity, our hidden destiny, our hidden potentials, our hidden gifts and calling. Now, why do I say that? I mean, am I just ignoring sin? No. But I believe that Scripture validates it. Remember I talked about Gideon a couple weeks ago? Yeah. Now, how many of you believe Gideon was a sinner, just like us? Yeah. He wasn't a saint. He was just a normal fallen creature. So the angel of the Lord shows up and says, the Lord is with you, O man of valor. What's God doing? He's revealing what was hidden to Gideon. Gideon didn't see himself that way, did he? But the prophetic word is revealing what was hidden in his identity. That he's really, in his core identity, he's a man of valor. He just doesn't know it yet. But he's going to find out soon as he believes it. We also looked at Nathanael. Remember Nathanael? Peter's trying to evangelize Nathaniel. He says, you got to meet this guy, Jesus from Nazareth. He's a really cool dude. I think he's the Messiah. Well, what good can come out of Nazareth? And as Nathaniel's on his way, Jesus sees him coming and he says, behold, an Israelite with whom there is no guile. Wow. So Nathaniel says, who, me? Yeah, you. It's what Jesus is doing. He's revealing the hidden thing in his heart that he didn't see himself that way. And what was the effect? Thanks, Jesus. See you later. No, he released faith. It brought him to the Lord. Now, Jesus didn't say, Nathaniel, I see secret sin in your life. If you don't repent right now, if you don't get rid of that sin, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what most evangelicals, I think. That's how we bring people to the Lord. We kind of got to convict them of their sin. Now, the Holy Spirit's good at convicting us of sin, but that's not always how he works. Here's Jesus. He's telling Nathaniel, he's a man without gall. Nathaniel goes, whoa, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Amazing. It's kind of what we do at Lexington Market. You know, we give away free bagels, free drink, and free prayer. And we just, you know, here's what we do. I'm really picking on Ronnie today. Can I pick? Is it okay to pick on you, Ronnie? You know, Ronnie's walking down, what's it, Utah Street? We see Ronnie, and hey, Ronnie, free bagels. We got free bagels, free drink, free prayer. You want anything? You want prayer? Excellent. Can we pray with you? Great. So we're praying over Ronnie. And here I am. I'm just, well, my hands are on Ronnie. I'm just saying, Lord, what do you want to say to this man? And I just listen. So for example, Ronnie, you weren't there last Saturday, but this guy Sean was. And Michael Roseberg and I were praying with Sean. And I was praying that prayer, Holy Spirit, how do you see Sean? How do you see Sean? And as I listened and as I looked, I saw a picture. I saw Sean speaking to a group of people. And he was speaking encouragement. So I said, Sean, I have a picture of you. And you're standing before a group of people, and God is using you to speak encouragement and hope into people's lives. Well, as I said that, his eyes got wide. He was like this, and he said, that's amazing. He said, just last week, he was at an NA meeting, and for the first time ever, he stood up and he shared. So guess what? He was really encouraged. So that's kind of what we do down there. But you know, you don't have to go to Lexington Market to work in the prophetic. I mean, Bob, you gave a great testimony this morning. It can happen at your workplace. It can happen any place. Kristen went for a job interview just last Friday. And she's a job interview to work with an autistic young man as a one-on-one. So she meets the mother. And it turns out, Kristen didn't know this ahead of time, but the mother's Jewish, lives here in Columbia. And so as they're talking, Kristen, she's like inspired by this woman, and she's getting senses about her. So Kristen sort of stepped out, and she said, you know, I think you've been born for such a time as this. And the lady's eyes got big and wide, and she said, I've heard that before. Isn't that about Esther? And Kristen said, yes. And Kristen then began just to speak some more into her life. And something, Kristen told me, I wasn't there obviously, that something supernatural transpired between them. It was like the Holy Spirit just showed up. And so it can happen anywhere and anytime. The good news, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus doesn't just see our sin, our dirt. He sees the gold in us. He's more interested in digging out and calling out our gold than he is our dirt. And I believe that's the reason why Scripture says that Jesus was the friend of sinners and tax collectors. You know, that's why they liked hanging around Jesus. Because Jesus was more interested in calling the gold out of them versus the dirt. Now that's not to say that Jesus never points out the dirt. Especially it's reserved for those who think that other people have more dirt than them. He's pretty quick at calling out that. But what he's more interested in is hanging out with people and seeing what's really in them, what God, what the Father has placed and deposited in them and calling forth that out of their lives. So this morning, as we conclude, back up. I was going to recruit you this morning to for GM.
General Manager.
Not General Manager. General Motors. Right. No, actually, I want to recruit you to be gold miners. You know, Jesus is really great at calling the gold out of people, and he wants us to be great at it too. And why do we do this? Paul says it so well. He says, it's not the judgment of God that leads people to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. So this morning, if you want to be a gold miner, I want to invite you to stand up. If you want to be a person that walks in the prophetic and calls the gold out of people, I want to invite you to stand up this morning. These last few minutes, I want us to do a couple of things. Can you pull out the little cheat sheet in your bulletin? It says prophetic culture. Now on there you'll see some declarations. You know, Steve Backlund often says that nothing happens unless it is spoken. He's actually got that from Paul. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 14, he says, but possessing the same spirit of faith as he wrote, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. So what we want to do is take a moment to make some faith agreements with God's word, okay? And as we do that, again, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you speak, faith comes. So I want us to, in a moment, not the bottom four, but the top five. See where it says, I'd earnestly desire to prophesy? See those lines next to it? Those five. And then when we're done that, just take a moment. I want you to think about the one that you most want to grow in. Maybe it's, I earnestly desire to prophesy. Or, my identity is based more on God's promises and prophetic words than on my past experience. Maybe that's something you want to grow in. I want you to think about the one that you want to most grow in. And I'm going to ask you to pair up with somebody and just take 2 minutes to tell them what that is and to pray that. Bless that in their life. Okay? So let's pray first. Father, thank you. Lord, we thank you this morning that for the kingdom culture that you've invited us into, inviting us to build, we thank you that it is a prophetic culture, a culture of encouragement. Lord, we thank you that you call us to share in your ministry, prophetic ministry, of speaking, calling forth a person's true identity and destiny, releasing intimacy in their lives with you. That we can speak words of encouragement, edification, and consolation. Lord, we thank you that we potentially, all of us in this room this morning, can prophesy. That you can use each and every one of us in this way. So, Father, as we make these faith declarations, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would make real in our experience what we declare by faith. You ready? Here we go. Number one, I earnestly desire to prophesy. I am an encourager of others. I intentionally and consistently acknowledge other people and their strengths and abilities, calling out the gold in them. I use prophetic words to war against lies and challenging circumstances. My identity is based more on God's promises and prophetic words than on my past experience, in Jesus' name. Now, one of those strikes you each as the one that you want to most grow in. Take a moment, think about it. Turn to somebody next to you, ask them what it is, and then just pray for them and bless that in their life. Okay?
what I got is what Fred mentioned earlier. There are some people within this room right now that have been carrying a burden way too long. It's time for you to give it up and give it to God. I know you know who you are. I would highly recommend you see Fred or Randy at the end of this service and give them those burdens. It's time you let it go now.
Thanks, John. Yes, feel free to see me or Randy, but you know, we all have the Holy Spirit here. We're all ministers. So it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be us, although we're more than willing. Any other prophetic senses this morning? Okay. All right. If you get any, email me. Okay, why don't we stand? Anybody wants prayer this morning?